Hello and welcome to the Offstage Cast, a podcast all about the Liverpool International Theatre Festival. Each episode, we will deliver an all-access pass to what staging an international theatre festival is all about. I am your host, Deborah Radall, along with Neil Maidman and Vic Mills. We are the Offstage Cast. Good morning to all from gorgeous, sunny Somerville, Nova Scotia, Canada. It's a warm 17C here, and I want to welcome you all to the Offstage Cast once again. As always, I'm happy to have Neil Maidman and Vic Mills joining me from Wales, where it's not morning, it's afternoon. Hi, Neil. Hi, Vic. How are you both?
Oh, feeling very relieved at the moment, Deborah. We've just finished a 17-day lockdown in Wales, which is a bit of a nightmare. And we've come out of that now, and I was actually able to get out and have a game of golf yesterday, which was brilliant. It stayed dry for most of the time, and I won by one shot. So
well, that's your story, Vic. I know it feels great to get out and have a bit of freedom after a lockdown. It must be wonderful. And things have been really challenging in Wales for the past few weeks due to the pandemic. And we've had a touch of that here too in Canada. Numbers, unfortunately, are spiking. But Neil, let's not get into that too much. Neil, how are things with you? Have you been glad to get out and about?
Well, yes. Well, unlike Vic, who is happily retired, I have to still go out and work for a living. Yes, so I've been able to travel quite a bit, quite extensively, actually, thank goodness, over the last few weeks. A bit more freedom. And, glad to be back with the pod, et cetera. You know, we enjoy this on a weekly basis. So good to be keeping in touch.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's so important for us all to maintain our connections. And it's been really good to hear some of Vic's interviews with the troops, or all of Vic's interviews with the troops from around the world, building those connections, maintaining the friendships. They seem like such great people.
Oh, don't they just? Yes. I mean, some amazing sort of conversations, some of which that we've been privy to that haven't been broadcast yet. So lots more to come from Vic and his travels around the world. Someone we haven't been able to see for a while was a good friend of ours, Paul Fowler, who is our adjudicator for next year. And he's joining us today for a bit of a chat. Hi, Paul. It's good to see you, albeit virtually. The last time we saw each other was in a lovely pub that Vic and I had a very nice lunch with you just before lockdown, actually.
It was indeed, and it was a very enjoyable occasion, and I'm sure this will be just as enjoyable. Great to see you all, and great to talk to Deborah for the first time too.
Yes, Deborah, you've not met Paul. Paul, Deborah.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. It's always odd to do these initial introductions, but then you just sort of sink into it and just go with it. And Paul, I'm very happy to meet you, and I want to thank you for joining us today on the Offstage Cast.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Nothing I enjoy more than talking about theatre.
As Neil mentioned, Paul is our adjudicator for the Liverpool International Theatre Festival for October 2021. And for all of our listeners, Paul, please tell us, what does an adjudicator do at a theatre festival of this kind?
Well, I think many people view the process of adjudication as a judgment, but that's not really how I view it at all. My role is to see all the performances, to comment upon them, and to try perhaps and celebrate the good and suggest ways in which everybody involved can perhaps make their theatre practice a little more proficient, suggest areas that they might explore, rehearse, or look at in terms of the production and the performance that they've shown us.
That's a really interesting approach to the job. So your background, Paul, how did you come to be an adjudicator?
Well, I've been involved in the amateur theatre one way or another ever since I can remember. Probably, I think I was, the first thing that I was ever in was at primary school before the age of six. Anybody that has acted with me in the last few years will be amazed to know that I can still remember the words I had to say. I played a sparrow who was conducting an orchestra, and my line was, "Now, birdies, take your time from me." I haven't always been quite as proficient at learning lines as that, but you know, I was certainly less than six, because we left that particular school when I was around 6 years old. So I've been involved in the theatre of one kind or another since then. At school, later on, I joined a company. I was involved in musicals, and I was just keen to be involved in any way I possibly could. Crucially, when I was about 20, I think, I moved to a different part of the country, didn't know anybody, and the best way of meeting a few people was to join the local drama group. And I've been a member of that drama group ever since. And it was with them that I was in my first festival, and through them that I became involved in the festival committee, organising the local festival. I was the stage manager and a timekeeper, and then I was the chair of the festival. And I think I've done pretty much every job it's possible to do connected with festivals, including being in them and directing plays, and now adjudicating. So I've had a lot of fun over the years, and you know, I just love the theatre.
So do you need formal qualifications to be an adjudicator, or is there an organisation that you need to be affiliated to? Tell us a little bit about how you
well, in, carry in, out that. Yeah, in the UK, you don't have to be a member of any organisation. I happen to be a member and past chair now of the a Guild of Drama Adjudicators, which is the leading body for drama adjudication in the UK. I thought for many, many years, you know, that you'd have to have a brain the size of a planet and be a university professor at the very least to be an adjudicator. And one day I saw a little ad in an amateur theatre magazine that said, would you like to come on and along and find out a bit more about adjudication? And I had no thoughts of becoming an adjudicator. I just went, thought, well, that'd be an interesting thing to do on a, you know, on a November weekend when I'm not doing anything else. And I went along, we took part in a couple of workshops and things. And one of the adjudicators that was there took me aside and said, you should take this further, you'd be good at this. And subsequently encouraged me, eventually became my mentor when I applied to join GODA, as we call the Guild of Drama Adjudicators. And I found myself sort of somewhat surprisingly to me becoming an adjudicator myself. And that was in 2000, I think, 2000 or 2001. And I've been adjudicating ever since and done it at just about every level you can. Now, looking forward to a new step in my adjudicating career and coming to see the folks at the LITF.
So having an adjudicator reminds us that the festival is a competition and that you, Paul, are the judge. That's a lot of responsibility. And I have a few questions that I want to pepper you with. So I hope you're ready.
Feel free.
Okay. So here they go. I'll give you them and then you can fill in the blanks. What will you be looking at and looking for in each of the productions? Is there a specific marking scheme or checklist that you use? Or is it subjective judgment based on just personal impressions?
Okay, well, we in the UK operate with a framework which enables us to look at the various areas that are important in presenting a play and a production. We look at stage presentation and comment upon that. We look at the way in which the director has brought the production to the stage, how he's translated it from page to stage, and then we look at the performances. And then there's usually a roundup to say, you know, how successful putting all those things together has been. And each of those sections are awarded a certain number of marks. It's not actually a scheme that is hard and fast as far as GODA is concerned, because some festivals want us to work to a different marking scheme for reasons of their own. For example, we have one festival who found that a lot of teams were coming without any sort of a set at all, any sort of a stage presentation they wanted to encourage people to be more imaginative, do something a little more visually challenging. And so they decided that at their festival, they would award more marks to stage presentation than we normally do. End up with a scheme that gives 15 marks usually to presentation, although, as I said, sometimes it's 25. We give 35 marks to the direction, the production of the piece, how well it's the director has done its job, done his job or his or her job, really, and 40 for acting. And then there's a sort of what we call endeavor, originality, and attainment mark at the end, which is 10 marks, really, which just shows how well everything has been put together. So that's the sort of basic framework that we work upon. But it's not a question of starting at 100 and taking off marks, as some people have said to me. We have a mark scheme, just as an examiner would looking at an exam, where certain qualities in that section get a mark or a range of marks. And it's up to us to use our judgment and experience to award those marks. In the end, in my experience, it's always the production that is strongest overall in each of the categories. You can have a two-man show that's got your two best actors in it, but unless you've put the effort and work into direction, for example, you know there'll be an imbalance. There'll be a good acting mark and a not so good directing mark. It's always the people who understand that in drama everything matters.
That
are successful in festivals. Mm. Having said that, I'm aware always that we're dealing with people who are at different stages of their theatrical journey. Some groups might want to be in a festival to do a particular play. Others from Wales might just want to win. It depends. Thinking of nobody in particular.
No idea what he's talking about now.
So teams and companies often need subtly different things from adjudication. Some need a lot of help and encouragement in order to improve the way things have gone and things to work on and ideas. And sometimes they say, "Oh, I never even thought of doing that," and they'll give it a try. And that's when the adjudication process works best. If you're open to it, if you're willing to listen to other informed opinion and see how it works for you, then I think that that's when it works at its best. I'm sure Neil and Vic have been involved in festivals for many years, and they probably agree with that assessment.
It's interesting, Paul, chatting to some of the companies who are coming to LITF 2021. One of the things that they've said to me is they're looking forward to being judged by people who are not their normal audiences, not necessarily kind of an adjudicator, because I'm not sure that they're familiar with that role particularly, but very much looking forward to see what other people who don't normally see their work will make of it. And that's a big thing about festivals, isn't it? I think very often companies perform in their communities to the same kind of people who are very often incredibly positive about whatever they do because they're friends, their relatives, their community. And it's a valuable thing to put yourself out there sometimes, kind of outside your comfort zone in a festival and see what people who don't know you and love you feel about your work.
Yeah, one of my my colleagues, recently retired colleagues, used to say to people occasionally, if you come here thinking that I'm going to tell you how wonderful you are, that's not my job. That's what your mum and dad are for.
Yeah.
I'm here to help you improve and get better. And You know, if I say to you that what you did here wasn't quite right, it's not because I hate you. It's because I want everybody else to love you more next time. And, you know, so that's one way of looking at it. When my own drama group was doing festivals many years ago, we suddenly sort of sat down at a committee meeting once and somebody said, why do we do this? Why actually do we go into festivals? Which was the first time we'd ever really thought about why we and what we get out of it, why we enter festivals. And we came up with two basic things, which for us were the reasons. And that was doing festivals enables you perhaps to do material that you might not otherwise get an opportunity or an audience for. So that was one thing which we thought was very worthwhile. And the second thing was that we might think we're good. You know, we are pretty well known in our own hometown, but nobody else knows who we are. How good are we really? Perhaps it would do us good to have another opinion, which is exactly what you were referring to earlier on, really. It gives you an idea of whether you're progressing along the right line.
So, Paul, it's really interesting to me to hear you talk about how you became an adjudicator and to be able to reflect on your experience as an actor as well. And just your entire position around that it's about development and about understanding of improving. Along that lines, is it typical for theater troupes to have the chart, the marking scheme, so that they understand what the expectations are? Does that happen in every festival or in any festival?
The marking scheme that we use as a guild is available and open to all.
Okay. So they know what the expectations are generally.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much so. Anybody can... I'm just trying to think which part of our website is on. I think anybody can access it via go to uk.org, which is our website.
It's interesting. You stressed, Paul, about how this is, in your view, not about making judgments and the whole thing is not an exam. But I think performers still probably become quite nervous about the occasion that an adjudicator is in, or when they're at a festival and they know, you know, that light out in the audience over the adjudicator's desk when you come out onto the stage is bound to create a few nerves, isn't it? You know, somebody is there making notes about you and is going to make some comments about what they've seen. In your experience, is adjudication something which makes performers very nervous?
I think there's as many answers to that as there are performers, really. You know, I know some actors who refuse point blank to take part in festivals, who don't like the process of being adjudicated. Personally, I think that's a shame. I didn't always agree with adjudicators when I was performing. But I think as I got older and more experienced on the stage and was directing and acting, I realised that I didn't actually know everything after all. Every now and again, an adjudicator would say something and you'd think, damn, I wish I'd thought of that before. And that's what I try and sort of engender. I think I try to be friendly and open and accessible to all the people that perform in front of me. I enjoy the process of talking to them afterwards and discussing what I've said and, you know, why I came up with that particular opinion or viewpoint. Sometimes I have to say, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree. But, you know, I enjoy that whole process. It's invigorating and interesting and engaging. And, you know, theatre is about liveliness and enthusiasm. I think the one thing that is the one unforgivable sin in adjudicating and also really in the theatre is enthusiasm, you know, is the lack of enthusiasm, I beg your pardon. You know, you need to be enthusiastic about what you do. I need to be enthusiastic about what I see. If I don't sit down at my desk and wait for the curtain to open and think, this could be the play that's really going to knock my socks off, then I'm wasting my time and I ought to give up.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
We've Vic and I have been involved with festival theatre for coming on to probably the best part of 20 years, I guess. And a lot of it has been original work, and we've performed all over the UK and with our theatre in Wales. And also we performed at LITF as well. We've had various sorts of experiences with adjudication. I think broadly we find the whole process very, very positive. And as you say, Paul, that sort of enthusiasm is something that needs to come through. There's nothing worse, I think, than what you described there as being that lack of enthusiasm and lack of sort of progression that is actually sometimes, and it's on a very rare occasions, the adjudication has been more about the adjudicator than the actual plays you've just seen. And which I think is again a little bit unforgivable, but we've had some good experiences, haven't we, Vic, over the years with regard to
my feeling about it, I guess a lot of it is to do with your kind of personality. I've always enjoyed examinations of all sorts. I've always felt like when I got to an exam, I've done a lot of work for this, and here's my chance to show what I know. And I've kind of gone. And I've always felt like that with adjudications, really. I've done a huge amount of work on this play, and I'm really interested to hear what somebody's got to say about it. Obviously, I'm desperately hoping they're going to be fulsome in their praise and say, God, that was fantastic, you know. And anything less than that can sometimes feel a bit disappointing because of the amount of effort and commitment and the amount of yourself that you put into a performance. Coming out and sitting in an audience afterwards and listening to somebody talk about it, you've got to feel that kind of enthusiasm from them, whether it's an enthusiastic yes or sometimes an enthusiastic no. You want to feel some visceral response that they've really felt something strongly for what you've just been chucking yourself into for months and sometimes years to perform. So there's an awful lot hangs on it, I think. There's no way that you go in to listen to an adjudication without feeling kind of excited and nervous. You're bound to feel that kind of, but that's a good thing. That's part of being alive, isn't it? You know, that kind of being on edge at that point is great.
We live in a time where sharing your own opinions with people who already, you know, share your opinions proves to be pretty fruitless. And, you know, your mates will always tell you how great you were. And your family will always tell you how great you were. But to have somebody listen to your opinion, and from my perspective, to have somebody listen to your opinion and then say, I respect your opinion. And, yeah, I think you've got a point there. That little section, you know, could have had more pace or... yeah, you're right, he should have been upstage at that time. I think that's, you know, it's a valuable thing to be open to other people's opinions, even if you disagree with them. Occasionally, you know, there's never, except on very rare occasions, all good or all bad. Everything's, you know, redeemable and improvable.
I would say also, every time as an actor you step on that stage and do your thing, that you have an entire audience of adjudicators that are listening to what you do.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
And so the difference, as I can see it, with having a real adjudicator like Paul, is that you have somebody who will immediately, and if not immediately, the next day at the Coffee Critique, will talk to you about what you did. And as an actor, you often only get the applause. You don't get that kind of engagement to talk about the work that you do when you are in a play, unless it's, you know, in the pit when you're getting change and everybody's talking about what you're doing. So the process of adjudicating, hearing what the adjudicator has to say is endlessly fascinating for me as an audience member, because I can go, oh, no, he's full of it. I don't believe what he said at all. Or I can go, hey, I never thought of that. So looking at it as an audience member and as as sometimes actors as well. I'm like, oh, okay, I see what he's going with that. Or no, I don't buy it. But I think for the journey, I can see a lot of value in it.
Yeah. Vic and I have done a number of, well, more than a number, a lot of plays together over the years. And with Vic as an actor and as a writer, and me as the director, and sometimes as an actor. And the ability to have different points of view, that the audience appreciation at the end of a play is obviously wonderful, but that can be the same wherever you go. And I think actually having a different adjudications. And the first play we brought to the LITF was one that Vic had written. And we had been quite successful with it. We'd performed it a lot of times in the UK. But we didn't know what to expect from not only a Canadian audience, but also from our fellow performers. I'll never forget. This wasn't too much with the adjudication, but from one of our fellow performers in the first LITF that we attended in 2008, there was a performer there from Nepal, and who was put on a one man show for the first night of the festival, and he was enthralling, and our little play, which was based around a Welsh chapel community in Wales, and was something that we thought perhaps was a little bit too narrow, and perhaps in people of Wales understand it, but actually we were very nervous about how well it would travel. Now it went down really well with the Canadian audience. People still talk about it to this day. But this chap from Nepal came over to in the Coffee Critique, and he asked me who the director was, and I'll never forget him hugging me, actually, and saying that he thought that was a most wonderful piece of theatre he'd seen in a very, very long time. And that sort of feedback was just, we talk about developing and making that hunger for to making sure that your work is always of the best quality, and you're improving play after play after performance. When you have feedback like that from audience members and again adjudicators, it just spurs you on to make that, you know, your next production the best yet. And that's something that Vic and I agree a lot on, is that we always try and strive to push ourselves and to make the next production the best one we ever do. I think that by and large we've been successful with that because we have the same sort of thought process with regard to that sort of stuff.
It's a really brave thing to do, you know, to take a piece of a theatre that's very specific to a certain area and time and place and set of characters and introduce it to people that aren't familiar with those tropes, I suppose. But then, you know, Hamlet isn't just about a bloke misbehaving in Denmark.
And I often think that some of the most successful festival theatre I've seen has been kind of very culturally specific and located. You know, you see something and it's an African piece and it's in a language you don't understand, but because it's very true to the life that it is actually describing, you find the universality in it.
I couldn't agree more. One of the most arresting festival things I've ever seen, I saw a couple of years ago, which was a production of Under Milk Wood, done as The Day of the Dead, directed by Tim Burton. It was with three women, that's all. It was magnificent in every respect. It looked fantastic. It was intriguing because you couldn't quite figure out how they were going to do certain aspects of it. And it was beautifully acted and directed. And how unexpected was that? And that was a piece of theatre that I'm sure could have found favour anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to be delighted? I mean, there's a contract, isn't there? When you go to a theatre and you sit in those seats that become very uncomfortable after a while, you want to be delighted. You want to be transformed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to be moved to a different place. And when somebody takes a piece of work and does something with it that is totally unexpected, whether you're not familiar with it, which is one thing, but if you're familiar with the work, it's even more exciting. Like when you're surprised, when you're surprised at what you see and when you're transformed and when everybody's engaged and you feel that moment in the theater, I can give myself goosebumps even talking about this. When you feel that moment in the theater, when you just know everybody's going, you know, it's just, and this is the great thing about the Liverpool International Theater Festival. There's a lot of that. Intake of breath, because sometimes the language is, you're just tuned into every nuance of every bit of the performance because you don't know what they're talking about. But so you're looking at everything. So your brain is processing and you're firing on all eight cylinders to figure out what these people are trying to say. It's just so invigorating and so exciting. And almost every single play is like that. When there's a challenge with the language, shall we say. It's thrilling. International Theater Festival is thrilling to watch. Often when you don't understand, often more when you don't understand what's going on. In my never be it humble opinion, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I speak as somebody that's very open to that sort of thing. I remember going on a I went on a long weekend to Lisbon in Portugal once, and was walking down a street, and there was like a bar with a, it said theater here now, performance now. So I went in, and it turned out that there was a production of something taking place in this tiny little pub theater, literally, I don't know, 30 seats or something like that, which turned out to be in Polish. Two languages that I don't speak. And it lasted about 50 minutes. I've no idea to this day what it was about, but it was fantastic.
Well, fortunately here at the Theatre Fest, the Liverpool International Theatre Festival, they usually have a synopsis that is attached to the program so that the audience has a bit of an idea about what's happening if there is a language challenge.
I think One of the things that Vic and I are looking at is developing that synopsis so that we have even more sort of information and makes it more accessible. That's kind of work in progress at the moment, but that's something that we've talked about.
On the topic of accessibility, I would like to encourage you to make sure that the printing is not number 12 font, because most of us in there, we need our readers. Make it big enough so that we can all read it, please and thank you. Now, let's go back to the process, Paul, the process of the adjudicating of each of these wonderful plays that you're going to see in 2021. So you make your notes under the light while the show is going on. How do you give feedback to the performers? Because, you know, we have talked a bit about how important receiving that feedback is and potentially making changes, but how do you do that? When does it take place?
In the first instance, I leap up at the end of the play, get up on the stage and tell people what I thought of it, more or less, using the framework of the marking scheme. That's how I go through it. That'll take, I don't know, it depends, you know, 10 or 15 minutes or some. It depends on the size of the cast and, you know, the number of things that I have to talk about. That, for some people, represents another act of the play almost, you know, to round the evening off. And at some festivals in the UK, that's where it finishes. Some festivals will arrange an informal chat with the company afterwards, and quite often we have an interesting, but usually relatively short because of the lateness of the hour, exchange of views and opinions and so forth, and they can ask any questions they want to amplify certain points, but sometimes it's done more formally than that. One or two festivals have a session where you're allocated a certain amount of time, you sit down with the team, there's always a member of the organizing committee there with you, and it's done rather more formally. Personally, I don't mind how it works, but I understand you have a slightly different way of doing things at LITF.
Yeah, we do. We do. We have certainly the same time for you to pop up and give a little teaser maybe about what your thoughts are about the show. having just seen it. And then the next day, you get a chance to sort of flesh out more of those ideas and those comments in what we call the coffee critique, which typically happens the next morning after the evening of plays, where each of the casts gather and you're leading a discussion with the cast members, and then it gets thrown to the audience. So often there's quite a few people that attend that as well. So you have a chance to get into a little bit more depth than maybe you might have, you know, when you pop up in between the two shows to give people a sense of what some of your thoughts are. And in fact, it's often used as I said earlier, as a teaser to encourage people to come and attend the coffee critiques to really dig down into some of the discussion, which is always fascinating, don't you think, Neil and Vic? I mean, you've participated.
Absolutely, yeah. It was. We're very much used to what Paul has described with festivals in the UK, where the adjudicator will pop up at the end and give a 10, 15 minutes per play of what he's just seen and remarks, etc. In LITF, it's the coffee critiques the morning after. And it's something that's fascinated Vic and I over the years that we've attended these, because not only, as Deborah mentioned, you will get the players from each production there, you'll also get other productions that will be performing later on in the week or whatever, but you'll also get a good chunk of the audience that had seen the play the night before will rock up at 10 o'clock in the morning with their coffee mugs brimming, ready to hear the adjudication and sometimes the explanation from the cast members as to what it was all about, because sometimes that really is very, very useful. Because I found myself sitting at through a production in the Astor Theatre and not understanding the language and perhaps scratching my head a little bit as to what this was all about. And then the morning after, you go to the coffee critique, and then the representative of the of that troupe, who perhaps has the best English, will stand up and say, "Oh, well, actually, what it was this, and this." And you go, "Oh, right, I understand." And the amount of times that I've been in a coffee critique where the entire audience will go, "Oh, I get it now. Oh, I see that now. I understand that now." Yeah. So it's all part of the learning sort of process. You know, we talk about theatre being sort of like the universal sort of language, but people really do get to understand that. And there's a great passion in Liverpool for understanding those different cultures. And it's something that's, I don't say it's unique to Liverpool, but it's certainly very heartening to be a part of that. I mean, Vic and I were competitors in the last festival in 2018, and we were amazed by the amount of people that were there, turned up the day after to hear the adjudication, and also to quiz us on, because it was Rick had written it and it was based on a factual sort of fragment, as it were, they wanted to quiz us about the history behind it and the what the play was all about and how it was to perform it and all that sort of things, and my role as a director, how I did all those sorts of things. And it's a learning process as well. Because it's a very positive sort of experience. Would you agree with that?
I think what you were just saying reminded me a bit of. I was adjudicating a festival in Ireland. I'd been adjudicating Waiting for Godot. So I adjudicated the play, which was a very good production, Waiting for Godot, came off the stage, and one of the audience members grabbed me by the arm and said, "Do you know, I often think that it'd be very useful if we heard the adjudication before we saw the play."
Yeah. But it does make sense in some ways. I could see that happening, because for some people, maybe who are not familiar with the play or don't attend a lot of plays, which can sometimes happen, the adjudication can really make it accessible to people, help people understand what it is they're seeing, and help people see, okay, well, that wasn't what I thought, but okay, or, oh, that's what they meant. So it's great for discussion, and that's, I think this is the great thing about LITF, is that it's engaging. There's lots and lots of opportunity for people to, well, get out and hear and experience and participate in the process.
Yeah,
and there's absolutely a lot of buy-in from that. And I think that's super exciting. It's super exciting to share all of that as a community. And it's also obviously internationally, all of the troops that attend internationally get to share and be part of all that. And the Coffee Critique is a very interesting process that I don't know that too many other festivals would do it in this format.
I was going to say, well, it's entirely new to me. And I can't wait. It sounds really fascinating and enjoyable part of the festival. And who knows, it might be something that, you know, I can suggest to other festivals in other places.
One of the positive things again about the Coffee Critiques is that they can be a catalyst for further discussion, because you could be walking down Main Street in Liverpool and someone will stop you and have a conversation for 10 minutes about the play that they saw two nights before that you were in, or you directed, or you're Welsh, aren't you? Or it does, the community itself comes together and really embraces the international flavor of it and puts their arms around the international participants and engaging with them, not just in those sorts of times, but when they see them around town and whatever. It's a great part of the whole process, really.
Gentlemen, undoubtedly we could talk for hours, but we really need to wrap up for today. Paul, how wonderful to meet you and to dig into the very important role of the adjudicator. Hearing how you plan to approach things in a specific open way will likely make things a lot less intimidating for our competing theater groups. And I know our audiences at home will definitely appreciate knowing how this role works and that you are also passionate to share constructive feedback, which, let's face it, helps audiences as well as actors see new ways to grow our theatre experiences.
Yeah, lovely to chat to you today, Paul. Good to catch up with you.
Great to see you, Paul. Thank you again.
It's been absolutely my pleasure, and it's just redoubled my enthusiasm to look forward to the event itself.
Well, me too. And I think that we'll all try to come up with another reason to have another chat before we all get together again. In the meantime, thanks everybody for listening and tuning in to the Offstage Cast. Please join us for more of the Inside Scoop.
You've been listening to the Offstage Cast from the Liverpool International Theatre Festival. Remember to subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you don't miss any future episodes. For more information and to contact us, be sure to visit our website, litf.ca.